It's the Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman time.
Y'all must have forgot why we the best.
People say the punches weren't really necessary.
What do you mean, why were they not necessary?
Because he was already knocked out at that point.
But the referee hadn't pulled me off. And my job is to hit somebody till the referee pulls me off. So to those people, I would say maybe don't watch him and they go back to soccer.
You know, I made history here tonight. I set another record. Etched my name in history one more time.
WFAN and Odyssey.com.
You guys caught me under a bad time, but you know what I'm saying? The Rock's cool. I like ballers. You know what I'm saying? But he picked the wrong side. He picked another side, so he could get it too. He could get his ass whipped too. Straight up. With all due respect, he could get it too.
I definitely want to defend my 145 belt. And let's see, I'm going to talk to Dana. Dana, tomorrow I'm going to call you. We're going to have a talk. I love you, boy.
Here's your Fight Fan host, Pete Hoffman.
This is the Fight Fan with your host, Pete Hoffman. Follow me at the Hoff WFAN, at the Fight Fan WFAN, Twitter, everywhere else on social media, at the Fight Fan with Pete Hoff. That's YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, you name it, I buy it, WFAN.com, Odyssey app, all of them. This week, two guests for you. This past weekend, the Ultimate Fighter finished up at the UFC Vegas 35 card. And we have two of the winners. One is the middleweight Ultimate Fighter. His name is Brian Battle. He will be joining us in a few. Also, we have Manny Martinez, who joins us as well. It was a rough week for him. He lost his coach. It was a very emotional journey for Manny Martinez. And he talks about that and a lot more. Both interviews are great. We will get to them in a few minutes. Both victorious and both very awesome. UFC this Saturday at the Apex. Again, Vegas, what is it? UFC Vegas 36 now. Derek Brunson, Darren Till, a very interesting middleweight fight. And we'll talk about that in a second. Gotta rewind. I'm not sure if that's a rewind sound, but it is what it is. Tyron Woodley, Jake Paul. Congratulations to Tyron Woodley. Honestly, hats off, because I don't know what we were going to expect out of Tyron Woodley for being a first-time boxer going into that sort of setting. And it's not something to be like, oh, well, you know, he's a professional fighter, so he should be able to, he should have won that fight. He should have knocked out Jake Paul. Should have done this, should have done that. Listen, I'm not really sure what I should expect for a first-time, quote-unquote, boxing match at a Tyron Woodley. But I saw someone who, after eight rounds, was not fatigued, could have gone another four rounds. Didn't look bad at all. Wasn't really aggressive as much as I would have liked him to be. He didn't work his jab as much. He was landing nicely. He was really a little cautious, maybe too cautious. Was that a strategy? Was that a plan? Was this all just to set up a second fight, another second time, a cash in for Mr. Tyron Woodley? Because this man, if I'm correct, money says, and maybe there's some pay-per-view points too that maybe we missed out on, but at least Tyron Woodley made $2 million off that fight. And if you go through all of Tyron Woodley's fights in the past, he probably never made $2 million combined. And that's unfortunate, because you're talking about a former champion in the UFC. And I'm not going to sit here and talk about the UFC and how they need to pay their fighters more or whatever. What I'm saying is that Tyron Woodley cashed in finally. And something that he never, and I loved Errol Hawani. He really is the best. And I'm going to get him on here soon for you guys, because you guys deserve it. I love to talk to the guy. He's fantastic. He's the nicest guy in the world. But he said it. He said Tyron Woodley never got the respect he deserved from the MMA audience. And that was the first time that the MMA audience probably really backed him as one. Like, I don't think there was people going like, oh, you know, I really hope Jake Paul destroys Tyron Woodley to prove another point. And from coming from the MMA side of things. Like, from the boxing side, sure, maybe. Obviously, from the personality side, the social media side, yes, of course. Jake Paul, let's go. But Tyron Woodley never got that respect. Every single fight he was put into when he had the belt was a tough fight and was almost like a specialist that he had to put on a crazy performance to try to figure out how to be victorious, and no one gave him that benefit. No one gave him the credit that he deserved. When he beat or drew the first time with Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, and the second time he beat him, no one gave him respect. Damian Maia, no one gave him respect at all. Darren Till, he destroyed Darren Till, who's fighting this week. He destroyed Darren Till, and no one gave him respect. He knocked out Robbie Lawler. No one gave him respect. And then as soon as Kamaru Usman came in, it's like, oh, I told you, or he wasn't that good, this and that, the other thing. Tyron Woodley's a beast. Tyron Woodley is a very smart, intellectual fighter. Yes, we did see over the past few fights, over the past couple of years, that something seemed to be whether he was cautious. He didn't really want to engage as much. And it just seemed like he was a very hesitant Tyron Woodley that we miss. We miss the cutthroat, the champion Tyron Woodley. And to be fair, if you look at what he did against Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, that's kind of the way he approached it too. And Damian Maia, that's kind of how he approached it too. He went for counters. He's a counter fighter. He's a good wrestler, can stand on his feet. He can't be taken down very easily, except with Kamaru Usman, obviously we saw what happened there. But for the most part, it doesn't happen. And Tyron Woodley is one of those fighters that really was a great chess player in the cage. But no one respects that at all, because that's not what you want to see. You want to see, well, he knocked out Robbie Lawler, so he should knock out Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, which, by the way, he clocked him a couple times and just couldn't find the way to finish him, because Wonderboy is very tough to finish. Ask anybody else. Don't ask Anthony Pettis, but ask everybody else. It's tough to finish. Damian Maia is one of the best jiu-jitsu fighters out there. Tyron Woodley's a world-class wrestler. And he chose to avoid the takedown because we've said it over and over and over how Khabib and Tony Ferguson would have been a great match, because you wanted to see what Tony Ferguson could do off his back versus a great wrestler like Khabib Nurmagomedov. And guess what? Tyron Woodley didn't want to figure that out with Damian Maia because he was worried and cautious about the submissions. He didn't want to fight that way. He wanted to avoid all of those attempts. So he took that route, and he was brilliant at it. Maybe a little bit too cautious, maybe a little bit too on the defense, but he still figured it out, a way to win. And that's kind of how it's supposed to be when you have the belt. You know? I don't remember, I mean, I do remember people criticizing Anderson Silva at one point in time when, you know, he was a champion and people were saying, oh, you know, he was showboating too much, sure. But then people got a little upset. Well, after a while, it's like he wasn't engaging enough. His opponents weren't that good. He wasn't engaging. He was waiting to be a counter fighter, all this blah, 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 blah. But he's a champion. Why does he have to engage? Don't you want to win? Don't you want to win the championship? Like, Kamaru Usman took that belt away from Tyron Woodley. He took it away. He was aggressor. He took it away. No one could knock him for that. And that is how you approach a championship fight. Are you going to win it, or are you going to try not to lose it? And for the most part, the champions, I mean, are they trying not to lose it? I mean, I think they're trying to be winners, but Tyron Woodley was trying not to lose it. And that's okay, because he wanted to cash in. But anyway, enough of Tyron Woodley. I'm proud of him. I'm happy how he lasted, how he looked. Again, the better of the two fighters, for sure. He landed the heavier strikes. Jake Paul, I don't understand the scoring, because Jake Paul outworked him as far as as landing more shots, but I don't know if that really counts. You know, clearly, if one of those rounds should have been a 10-8 round when he knocked Paul into the ropes, but they didn't count that. I was kind of shocked that Tyron Woodley won one of the cards, but again, I don't. I knew Jake Paul was going to win overall anyway. There was no chance that guy was going to put on that show. I know Showtime was part of it too, but he was the lead charge. The Paul brothers, the lead charge of that. There's no way they're going to lose that fight. And they're just setting themselves up for other things. Conor McGregor versus Logan Paul's in the future. Jake Paul, we'll see who he's up against next. I mean, I'm sure he's going to try. I know he's ain't retiring. He's going to retire from the sport. Tyron Woodley wants a piece of it again. We'll see. We will see. Coming up, listen, there's some amazing fights coming our way. The New York card is starting to really come together. It's looking fantastic. You got the return of Rose Namajunas for Wally Zhang versus Wally Zhang 2, which is freaking phenomenal. I mean, that you just can't. You can't. That's going to be great. You also have the main event, Kamaru Usman, who we spoke about earlier with Colby Covington. That is the main event. You got Rose Namajunas versus Wally Zhang. You got Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler. You could make that a 5-round fight if you would like to. I'm not sure if they're going to, but that's what they're thinking about. That's what I like to see. Sean Strickland versus Luke Rockhold is up there. Jermaine Durandamy versus Irene Aldana. Frankie Edgar versus Chito Vera. I mean, I love Chito Vera. I love Frankie Edgar too. That is a sick fight. Ally Quinta versus Bobby Green. Some announced bouts that I'm not really sure how announced they are, but Shabazian versus Imavov. You got Alexa Kimura versus John Allen. Bagdasarian versus TJ Laramie. I think there's some other ones too, but I feel like they're missing off of this page, but I think there's some other fights, but just the top five, six fights right there are ridiculous. And I think there's going to be more coming for sure, but those are ridiculous. And that's going to be a paid pay-per-view in New York at MSG. November 6th, unlike UFC 267, by the way, which is going to be supposedly a non-pay-per-view numbered fight, UFC 267. It's going to be, I believe, at like 11 a.m. it's going to start. They're going to be in Abu Dhabi, and it's headlined by Jan Blachowicz, Glover Teixeira, Aljamain Sterling, Peter Yan on that card, Magomed Ankalaev versus Volkan Oezdemir. You got Alexander Volkov versus Marcin Tybura. You got Li Jingliang versus Kamet Chimaev. You got Amanda Ribas versus Yandroba. That's not how you say her name, but I can't remember. You got a lot of good fights on that. So these cards are really, the pay-per-views are really starting to shape up. It's going to be, oh yeah, Walt Harris versus Teja Tuivasa. That's going to be ridiculous. RDA versus Makhachev. It's going to be ridiculous. Darn ridiculous. But listen, enough of that. We got two good guys coming up. I want to get into this tomorrow's or Saturday's fight. This is a really good sneaky card that I don't think a lot of people have been paying attention to. Listen, anytime you start a fight, a prelim fight with Jonathan Martinez, I don't know why, but that guy, you got to watch him. He is, again, I'm a big bantamweight guy, but he's 27 years old. He's a feisty guy. He usually brings a really good, explosive, energetic pace to the fight. So that's how they're going to start off the card. But Jonathan Martinez versus Marcelo Rojo. You have a couple fights that I'm not really sure, but you Julian Rosa. He's been up and down his career. He's been a former Ultimate Fighter. He's been brought in and out of the UFC many times. He's looked really good. Other times he looked really bad. It's entertaining. He's an interesting guy. You kind of root for the guy. We'll see how it goes. It's going to be a catchaway fight with Charles Jourdain. Jack Shore's on the card. Molly McCann versus Yi Yeon Kim will be the main event of the prelims. Molly McCann over there in the flyweight division. And then the main card, this is like sneaky good. You know, they got Patty Pimblett versus Luigi Vedramini. I love Khalil Roundtree Jr. I do. I know he's 9-5. I know he's been up and down his career. I know, again, another Ultimate Fighter guy, but I love his story. I love the way he tries to learn and progress from every single fight that he's been in. The guy has the nastiest kicks, I personally think, in the division. I think that he really is, when he lands his strikes, he is as impressive as ever. But again, the problem is, like, you saw him versus Johnny Walker. Johnny Walker dismantled him. And he's had some rough fights that he's been in. Disappointing fights for sure, but I'm a big fan of Khalil Roundtree, but he's going up against Modestas Bukauskas, who is another really good young up-and-comer, 27 years old, about an inch of the height, a little bit on the reach as well. So it's going to be a very interesting. I know Khalil said he was going to be out for a while. I feel like Roundtree is really close to retiring, which is never a good thing. If he's close to retiring, then it's not a good thing, because I've always heard if you're close to retiring, you're halfway out of the cage, don't go in there, because it's just usually not a good scene. It's tough to just hang them up, because usually that means you're not really all into the fight, and that's a dangerous thing. Welterweight, you got Alex Morono versus David Zawada. I can't remember, was Zawada the replacement or was it Morono? But that's a fun welterweight fight. You got Tom Aspinall versus Sergey Spivak. These two are very interesting because, again, like Aspinall, I'm a fan of, and so is Spivak as well. But they're both very, you know, in the heavyweight division, they're just different fighters. Like Spivak is a little bit all over the place, a little bit more on the ground. Aspinall's more your prototypical, striker. They're both strikers for sure, but it's just a very interesting matchup, and they're both at this level where they could both sneak into a contending fight in the future, because the heavyweight division, to be fair, is kind of stagnant at the moment. John Jones nowhere to be found. Stipe, not sure when he's going to get back in the cage. Francis is obviously going to get his title shot back, I believe, hopefully versus Cyril Gane when that happens. We're not sure when that's going to happen. You know, what's going to happen with Derek Lewis? There's a lot of things, questionable things in this heavyweight division. But these two can find their way up the rankings very, very soon, shortly, see what happens. And then the main event, Derek Brunson versus Darren Till. Darren Till, you know, it's funny. You look at his record, 18-3, but I feel like he's lost so much more. You know, and Derek Brunson is the older vet of the two, and I know he wants an opportunity at Izzy. I know Till wants an opportunity at Izzy. Everyone wants an opportunity against Izzy. You know, Brunson, if you look at, let's see. When Brunson, let's go back to Brunson's career. He, in 2015, Ed Herman, Sam Alvey, lost to Whitaker at the end of 2016, lost to Silva. That was that Brooklyn fight that I just could not understand. Like, I felt like they didn't engage, and they just basically gave Anderson Silva the win because. It just didn't seem very... very active. It was not a very good card overall. Everyone remembers that Brooklyn card, the UFC 208, as one of the worst cards, I think, in all time. I mean, that was Jermaine Durandamy and Holly Holm, and even that went five rounds, just was boring. But Brunson beat Kelly, and then Lyoto Machida, you know, looking all like he was on a roll, lost to Jacare. That's right. Yeah, it's very, very up and down career. Then he lost to Izzy again. You know, Brunson's not young at all. That was UFC 230. That was another MSG event. That's right. Izzy was there. I forget all these things sometimes. Sometimes you just forget. And then you had Brunson first day, Brunson first Heinisch, and then Shabazian, and then he beat Kevin Holland recently. And that was a big fight for Kevin Holland, but a big fight for Derek Brunson to at least, you know, put him back in contention. And then you got Darren Till. So, I mean, listen, Brunson is he's a vet. He's got like one, maybe two more real good opportunities to make a plunge at that belt again. I know, obviously, we know that Robert Whittaker and Izzy, that's the fight that we're waiting on to see when that's going to happen, because that seems like the rematch that makes most sense. And then you got Darren Till, who's, you know, trying to rebound off of his latest loss to Robert Whittaker. And yeah, like, you just look at it's you know, I forget that Till hasn't been as active as we wanted to. That's the problem. Because he, in 27, had that big showcase versus Donald Cerrone. He looked really good. You know, I'm not saying that the other fighters that he were was up against prior to that were anything, you know, terrible, but Cerrone was that really big showcase that remember, in the welterweight division he was fighting, and Cerrone really is a 155er. And Till now is in the middleweight division. So at that point in time, you had a big Darren Till in a smaller division, and Cerrone was up in weight, out of his league. I remember that. I felt bad for Cerrone for that one. Just didn't look like he was in the right place for that at all. Till beat Wonderboy barely. I don't think he really won that fight, personally speaking. You rewatch that fight, you tell me where Darren Till really won that fight. And then you had that. That's what's driving me to be like, Darren Till. Was he really on a win streak? Does he really eight whatever the number is 18-3? I don't know, because I feel like that Stephen Wonderboy was a loss for him. The Woodley fight, that was a dominating championship fight for Woodley. Again, that was the last big fight for Tyron Woodley where he really looked good. And then you had Jorge Masvidal knock him out and made him look silly. He did beat Calvin Gastelum at the BMF event, which that wasn't a good fight for Calvin. And it's funny, like you think about Calvin Gastelum. I'm all over the place right now. Think about Calvin Gastelum. Calvin really hasn't looked good. Some of these fighters are just like hit or miss, and it's just like you're waiting. Maybe it's maybe it is their opponent. Maybe I know styles make fights, but Calvin really hasn't put on a show since the Izzy fight. That was like his last amazing performance up until the Cannonier fight, where it was really good and really close. Like the Whittaker fight wasn't all that good. You felt like a disappointment. I know he beat Heinisch, but he's looked like a disappointment for a while. That Izzy fight maybe took something out of him. I don't know, but really, you just felt like it was a letdown of what he did. So that's why when you faced Till, it felt like it was a disappointment there. It didn't feel like it was the Kelvin Gastelum of old. But anyway, that's the digressing. We're going off a different topic. So yeah, Till, Whittaker won a really good decision. Again, that fight didn't even seem typical Robert Whittaker as well. Whittaker seemed off at that moment in time. The Cannonier fight was really good, though. That was really good. So anyway, we're talking about really good fights. So anyway, the point is, you've built this up. It's Darren Till. It's Derek Brunson for another shot at making a run at the middleweight belt. There's some people in between that have to get their opportunity, but one of these two men, I think, will be in a title contender, maybe an eliminator fight in the future. I think that, you know, Darren Till has been hyped up for years, so this is a huge test for him. Again, another huge test for him. And is he capable of beating Derek Brunson? Brunson is beatable. Brunson is someone who, you know, has been known to, he can go the distance. It's not a question of stamina. It's not a question of how can they each go five rounds. They could do that. They each have that in them. But who's going to be the aggressor? Who's going to be able to take advantage? I know that Brunson, we've seen in the past, be able to be that guy too. Can Darren Till be the cutthroat guy to be engaging? And we haven't really seen him finish somebody off the way he did versus Donald Cerrone. We haven't really seen that in the welterweight division. So we have to see, can that happen again? Can we see him bring that back? We've seen him survive fights. We haven't seen him bring that back. I know he was a prospect that was up and coming. Let's see what he does. I know he's a lot of trash talk. I know everyone says he's really fun. That's great. But really, what it comes down to is he needs this victory more than Derek Brunson does, personally speaking. I know Brunson is older in age, but we've seen him at least put up good shows, even in losses. Till has looked flat in wins. You know? Besides that Derek Brunson Anderson Silva fight, in that loss, I mean, he really shows up and can make a fight close. And it's dangerous. And listen, he puts himself in a situation and sometimes he gets, you know, sees the bad end of it, but it'll be fun. Again, Darren Till, Derek Brunson, that's this Saturday, UFC Vegas 36, I believe it is. We're already up to 36. What would he do? All right, let's get to it. Enough of me rambling. Let us get to Brian Battle. He is the Ultimate Fighter, the middleweight Ultimate Fighter for season 29. Here he is, Brian Battle. Thank you, Brian. That was honestly nice, a really good dude. I'm looking forward to see what he does in his career, and it's going to be amazing. You know, you like to see how these people, you know, take the opportunity and run with it. Let's get it now to Manny Martinez. Again, a very emotional week for him, and we'll get right into it right now, Manny Martinez. Thank you to Manny. Thank you to Brian Battle again. Thank you for listening. We will have our picks, as always, at the Hoff WFAN, at the Hoff WFAN, and at the Fight Fan WFAN on Twitter, at the Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman on all other social medias, WFAN.com, and the Odyssey app. And don't forget, I should have promoted this earlier. Maybe I did. Who knows? Maybe I'll just sneak this in there. Don't forget, I have a couple shows coming up this weekend. This weekend. It's a holiday weekend, so I guess Monday's a weekend too. I have a show Sunday morning from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., but also I will be filling in for Boomer and Geo this Monday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., with my boy Michael Fliegelman. So it's going to be the Hoff and Fliegs or something of that sorts, but Fliegelman and Hoff, and we'll be in there 6 a.m. To 10 a.m. this Monday morning. Get ready. Check it out. It's going to be awesome. And I will see you guys next week, again, regardless, with Moose and Maggie. And the podcast, as always, I would do every week. So, and then we're football season's about to start, so that's crazy. So we're going to get into it, and baseball playoffs can come up soon, and then basketball and hockey, we're just going to get into all of it. So, you know, September is one of the craziest months around for sports, so I love it, I love it, I love it. And thank you again for listening, and I will see you guys next week with the Fight Fan, on the Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman. This is the Fight Fan with your host, Pete Hoffman, and we're being joined right now by the Ultimate Fighter, Brian Battle. How the hell are you? Congratulations. You're looking gorgeous right now. That scar looks great already. How are you feeling, dude?
Man, I'm feeling really good. I'm still like just basking in like the glory of, you know, what happened this past Saturday. So thanks for having me on and letting me talk about it a little bit
more. Yeah, dude, listen, it's always emotional when you win. But in the fashion you did it, the being on a show like that, it takes a toll to be, you know, it's the pressure of not only winning, but getting a contract, getting all this stuff. Take me through, like, and then changing opponents and stuff like that. Take me through, like, the build-up to that actually stepping into the cage.
Well, the build-up, I'll tell you, the build-up was really different from any fight that I've ever had. I mean, you know, besides the fact that this was on like the biggest platform there is for combat sports, just because the whole time that the show was airing, I knew who I was going to fight. I couldn't say anything, you know? And so it was almost kind of when the finale is announced, it almost feels like I almost had a show, even though I've been training this whole time. You know, you almost get caught up in the show and you're like, oh man, I have to fight in 2 weeks. It feels like I just got back home, you know? So it was really interesting. It was definitely different mentally. But it was a lot of fun just, being able to, train while the show is going on, be able to watch fights, with people. 'Cause that's something you never get to do. Normally you're actually participating in the fight. So actually getting to watch the fights with the people who care about you was an amazing experience. And, as far as Gilbert stepping in on short notice, you know, shout out to Gilbert, man. I mean, you know, that's a tough thing to do, is to step in on short notice on the biggest stage, you know, that, you know, there is for our sport. And for me, it wasn't anything new because I'm used to short notice fights. You know, I've had to take a lot of short notice fights just to, you know, get fights. So, you know, it wasn't anything new for me. I mean, it definitely changed the game plan a lot, but, you know, it wasn't anything that I wasn't prepared for.
Did you expect that he was going to come out guns and blazing in the first round? Was that something that was on your, like, you kind of figured that's how he was going to approach it?
Yeah, no, we felt that he was going to come out really hard. And it's funny because the way it started off, he didn't come out super hard in, like, the first 10 seconds. You know, I was kind of controlling the pace. And so it was almost kind of like a changeup. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was almost like he tricked me into thinking that he was going to go at a normal pace. And so I kind of settled down for a second, and then he just went after me. And then I was like, okay, there it is. That's what we've been waiting for. Unfortunately, I was getting beat up when it was happening. So, you know, lesson learned, don't settle down until, you know, they're really settled down themselves. But, yeah, that's something we figured was going to happen. So I knew when that initial blitz was happening, you know, I just had to keep on doing the right thing and just, you know, protect myself and, you know, get back to my feet.
Do you learn a lot from a fight like this? I mean, it's you know, it's again, it's the biggest stage you've been on, the fact that it's on ESPN. I mean, there's just so many different angles behind this. There's so much pressure on it. Do you look back and go, wow, I knew I could do this. I knew I was going to win. I knew I was going to be victorious. But do you look at this fight and go, there was still a lot that I could improve on, and this is how I can approach the next fight?
Oh, man, absolutely. I mean, you know, even when people have performances that people say are perfect performances, you know, there are no perfect performances. So, you know, that's what's awesome about this, is that there's always something that you can be better at. You know, if you are honest enough with yourself and self-aware enough, then you'll always be able to find things that you can fine tune and make better. Even if something's working, you know, it could work better. So there's definitely a lot of things after this fight with Gilbert that, you know, me and my coaches are looking at, and, you know, I can do a lot better. So, you know, you can expect next time you see me in the UFC octagon that I'll be a better version than the one you just saw this past Saturday.
Now, listen, we're going to fight again soon. How quick do you feel like you're going to be able to get back into the cage? What's your plan of action? You're going to try to get one more in this year, or you're going to do 2022 is going to be the year of Pooh Bear?
No, man. You know, I feel good. I'm healthy. I have a lot of momentum. I would love to get another fight before the end of the year. I mean, you know, it's kind of like what Dana says, you know, this isn't a time for me to get comfortable. You eat what you kill, and I'm still hungry. So, you know, December would be a perfect time. That's enough time for me to fully recover and still, like I said, improve on some things before going into full fight camp mode and just focusing on an opponent.
Give me, you know, talking about Dana and talking about the show a little bit, you yourself, tell me who the biggest person was that shocked you personality-wise on that show. You know, was it Volkanovski? Was it Dana himself?
Well, I will say everyone on Coach Volk's staff, everyone was super cool. Like, I won't say that shocked me. They seemed like cool guys, but it shocked me with how cool and how down to earth they were. So that was really cool. But no, Dana really did, because, you know, you see all the headlines and, you know, half the stuff Dana's saying is like really like nasty. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's really getting after people. But, you know, when we were on the show, you know, he was, you know, if you went up and talked to him, he was a very friendly guy. I mean, he was pretty generous, you know, he was very understanding of, you know, where we're coming from. And, you know, I think a lot of times people can, you know, call him cutthroat and ruthless. And, you know, to an extent he is, but he also like understands what's best for the sport. So, you know, with that being said, you still have to look out for what's best for you, but you have to understand that Dana White has done a lot for the sport and, you know, for all of the fighters in general by what he's done to grow the sport.
Yeah, no, and of course, and again, I'm someone who grew up on the sport as well, and I saw him with the Ultimate Fighter 1. You had Stephen Bonner and Forrest Griffin go at it. Do you feel that, like, you know, you have to make to the Ultimate Fighters, do you look at, you have to make that win that much more important, that you have to be on the climb to a title? Is the pressure on you that much more that you've won the opportunity at this, but just because you've won, there's that much more pressure of, I need to prove my worth? You know, is that something that's on your wavelength? Are you on your, do you feel like it's on your shoulders?
That's been on my shoulders since I first started training, though. You know, there's been a lot of people who thought I've been wasting my time, you know, since I started this way, way back in, you know, when I first walked in the gym. And so, you know, I guess, you know, it's like I'll always have that there. You know, it's I feel like I'll always have something to prove because I want to be the best and I want people to view me as the best. So until people view me as the best, then, you know, I'll always have a chip on my shoulder. And then, you know, once that happens, then I'll find something else. You know what I mean? It's all about the competition, all about having something to, you know, chase after.
Do you think too? Because here's the other thing. Right. So we talk about the confidence level, the people that you're around, you know, the people that build you up. Like, I mean, the one thing is that you've been highlighted so much now. So is there the pressure that your friends, your family, how do you keep composed and stay focused in this moment? I mean, it's you're just fresh off the win, stuff like that. But have you even thought about that, too, that there is going to be so much more coming from you at so many different angles?
Well, and I'll tell you what is wild about all this is, you know, people ask me, you know, how I feel and, you know, what all has changed since the fight. And, you know, the crazy thing is, like, me personally, I am still the same person I was, you know, before the show started, you know, like, you know, nothing about me fundamentally has changed. It's just, you know, the perception of me and, you know, the platform that I'm on now. And, you know, it is crazy because people are coming from all over the place, and it's weird, you know, trying to figure out how to handle it because people almost want to like elevate what you're doing and elevate, you know, who you are. But, you know, I'm still doing the same thing I've always been doing. You know, I'm still just training. I'm still fighting, you know. So, you know, I try to stay, pay attention to the people I'm closer with, because those people still treat me the same. You know, my wife, you know, she keeps me very, very humble. She keeps me very, very humble. So, yeah, no, it's weird. I'm still trying to figure it out for sure. But, yeah. But I'm thankful for it. It's really cool. You know, all the love and, you know, that people are sending my way. So, I mean, it's weird. I'm trying to figure it out, but it's cool. I'm happy that it's something I get to figure out.
Yeah, no, dude, it's an experience, man. Listen, I'm not sure where you started your journey as far as when the first time you watched was the first fight was that you've watched and where you remember where you were when you really started to feel that love and that passion for MMA and you really felt like this was something that was something that you could do for a living. But I know me, like, I remember the first time I watched a fight, I was just bugging out. Like, I'm like, this is incredible. This is something that's real in life. You know, and it's something that you've seen so many people. I've seen so many people make the climb up and down and the good, the bad, the ugly. It's something that, you know, we root for everybody because you guys really, what you do is impressive. I think that MMA fighters are the smartest, most intellectual fighters out there or athletes out there because it's not like you're just going out there and just trying to like be barbaric and smash somebody's head. And no, there's so many different parts of this game that people don't understand yet. And that's something that I think you're going to be, you're a figure now. You're a figurehead. You're a face for the sport. And so we have to remember that you're still young at it, but that you're going to be there for a long time, which we're excited about. What is your most favorite moment about being on The Ultimate Fighter and being on the show?
Well, first of all, thank you for everything you just said. That was awesome. That meant a lot. but as far as my favorite moment on the show, man, there was a lot of moments. Definitely, getting to talk to my family, that was a really cool moment because that kind of just broke me out of the reality of living in the house. Cause being in the house is almost like living in a different world, you know? So, being able to talk to my family kind of just like, that was a really, really great moment. Man, there's so many hearts to hearts that, you know, me and the guys had, you know, so many great moments I had with the coaches. I'd probably say what I will remember the most was probably beating Andre because that was the fight that I had asked for the entire time and then getting it and, you know, everyone outside of my team thinking that I was going to get smoked. And then, you know, seeing when the show was airing, everyone watching the show thought I was going to get smoked by Andre. So winning that fight was just, that was awesome.
Do you, I mean, do you like doubters? Do you like that when people are sitting there and saying that, oh, you have no chance? Like, that drives some people, but not everyone's built for that. Like, with something like, dude, I'm in New York. So literally right now, the two big stories that have popped up is the New York Mets. Their star players are giving the thumbs down to fans because they've been booing too much because the team's been losing and they can't handle the booing. So every time they do something good, they put their thumbs down and they're kind of being jerks about it, whatever. And then in Philadelphia, you got Joel Embiid saying that the fans are a little too hard on some of these guys. They're booing too much. They got to change up a little bit. How about you just like, I mean, do you take that and run with it and say, yeah, you want to doubt me? I'm going to prove you wrong.
I'll be honest with you. If I can get any kind of energy, any kind of way possible, the more energy, the better. So it's like if I go to a place where everyone hates me and I'm fighting the hometown guy, I love that. I do love playing the spoiler. There is something special about getting to come in and just ruin everybody's day. You know, when everyone just is mad at you and you're just like, you know, because it's like, okay, all you guys paid money to watch me get beat. That was a bad idea, you know. So, but on the flip side, I also love fighting at home in front of my people, in front of like all the love, because then, you know, it's kind of like the reverse. It's like, wow, man, you guys really came out to watch me fight. You guys are really here cheering me on. This is awesome. Like the energy, just the anytime there's like, I don't like it when there's no energy. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I'd rather people hate me than to not care about me.
Right. Well, and that was the hardest thing about, like, you know, listen, I was just very extremely happy the fact that the UFC in particular during this pandemic was able to just keep things going. Like, literally for like a month, things stopped. And listen, don't get me wrong. I mean, as a fan of UFC, MMA, to not have Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Tony Ferguson in my hometown in Brooklyn, I was looking forward to that. Listen, so be it. It's worst things that in the world have happened. We've moved on, but they continued on like basically a weekly basis once they picked up. It was incredible. But the lack of fan support definitely was noticeable. And to see that change recently and to see fans back in the crowd, there is an energy that had been missing for a while.
No, those are facts. I mean, it's and, you know, like I almost forgot about it. You know, it's like because it was almost kind of nice. I mean, it still is nice watching fights in the Apex with no crowd where you can hear the coaches and you can hear all the punches land. And it's like an very intimate experience watching it in the Apex. But then when they came back for the first time with the crowd, with Kamaru Usman and Jorge and Rose fighting Zhang and Shevchenko fighting Andrade, and the crowd was just going insane and you could just feel all the energy. Then it's a reminder that it's like, okay, you know, it's different when there's a spectator, because it is a spectator sport at the end of the day. So when the spectator's there, it just enhances the experience that much more.
No question. Listen, Brian, I appreciate, congratulations. The tough enough, the ultimate fighter, 29 middleweight champion. Congratulations. It's unbelievable story that you have. It was an unbelievable time watching you on the show, performing, winning. We're looking forward to big things. Anything that you want to promote before you go?
Follow me on Instagram, PoohBearBattle68, Twitter, BrianBattle10. Every week I do a little betting show on Aaron the Dog Guy channel. So, I mean, if you're interested in MMA bets, check that out. And shout out to my gym. Shout out to my family. And thank you for having me. Thank you for having me on the show, man. I really appreciate it. This was fun.
Brian, I appreciate it. We'll keep in touch, please. And we'll do this again soon, okay?
All right. Thank you, sir. I'll be looking forward to it.
Thank you, Brian. That was honestly nice, a really good dude. I'm looking forward to see what he does in his career, and it's going to be amazing. You know, you like to see how these people, you know, take the opportunity and run with it. Let's get it now to Manny Martinez. Again, a very emotional week for him, and we'll get right into it right now, Manny Martinez. This is the Fight Fan with your host, Pete Hoffman, and he's coming off of a very emotional, electrifying win. We are being joined right now by a very special guest, Manny Martinez.
Congratulations on the win, but take me through it because it was so emotional. How do you feel less than a week removed from the other night after your first victory in the UFC?
It still hasn't quite hit me, Pete, to be honest with you. Like you said, it was very emotional. And I had been working so long and so hard for that moment. You know, I had a setback about a year ago at the Contender Series. And then, you know, I was able enough to get a contract earlier this year. And then I'm back here and, you know, to finally get my hand raised in that octagon. And, you know, of course, not have my coach there was very emotional, like you said. But I feel great. I feel very blessed. I'm excited to continue with my career. And I'm happy to get that first win. It feels awesome, man.
I'm sure. And it was an amazing performance. I mean, we'll talk about, a lot of other things in a second. But the performance itself was incredible. It was electrifying. Like, honestly, it was such a very heated battle, a high-intensity battle. Did you feel confident that you were going to get your hand raised at the end of the fight?
At first, I didn't quite, to be honest with you. I was a little bit unsure. However, once I started backtracking and thinking, you know, who pushed the pace in the fight, who had who against the cage, who secured takedowns, I knew I had it in the bag. And definitely going back and watching the fight a few times now, I can't really see where that other judge had it sway his way. He threw a bunch of hard kicks. You know, some of them were blocked, some of them I ate. But that's the only threat he opposed to me. Other than that, you know, I was the one who kind of dictated the pace in the fight, and I was the one who kind of pushed the pressure. And, you know, and for sure, I think I could have won it unanimously, but there was some slight, you know, slight doubt in my mind that I may have not won it. But once again, like I said, I backtracked and, you know, kind of ran the fight through my head. I knew my hand was going to get raised.
You know, to be fair, he was a little bit older. Guido is, and he's. Were you surprised at how he was able to keep up with you?
Somewhat. I knew it was going to be a tough fight going in, just because he was on a 2-3 fight losing streak, if I'm not mistaken, and he was basically fighting for his life, fighting for his career, and he wasn't going to go away easy, which I figured. So it kind of surprised me that he was able to keep up at pace. Second, third round, he started fading. First round, he came out pretty solid. But second, third round, he started fading. And, yeah, like I said, he kind of was fighting for his career out there. So I knew he was going to be tough. But I did what I had to do to get the win, and my hand was raised. So happy for that.
No, definitely. And again, you know, you're talking about the judges, and you're a little surprised that someone even gave him the decision on one. But we've seen judges in the past, they're terrible. I mean, that's just something that we can't. I don't know if they're ever going to fix it, because it doesn't make a difference what sport it is, whether it's boxing, whether it's MMA. You just seem to get it wrong. Like, I don't know, were you locked in at all on Sunday with Tyron Woodley and Jake Paul at all? Was that something that you were locked in on or no?
Honestly, I watched the first two rounds, and then I kind of was like, this is probably going to go on the rest of the round. And from what I've seen, people were telling me that's kind of what happened. So I didn't really care to watch it after that. But I guess the judges may have screwed it up a bit or seen something different.
I don't even know what I'm watching anymore sometimes with boxing, because it's just like, I was hoping Tyron Woodley would win. But I didn't really see it going that way. And then somehow, like, he, you know, won a decision from one of the judges. And I'm just like, I'm confused. I'm really confused at what I'm watching. But to be fair, like, you know, we're talking about just, like, the people that are watching these fights. It's easier to judge MMA, in my opinion, to see what I'm watching, to see, you know, the takedowns, to see the output that you're putting out there. It's actually easier to judge, in my opinion. They keep on screwing it up, and that's why you can't rely on the judges. Do you put a little bit on yourself that you're upset that maybe you didn't get a finish of some sort?
Of course, especially going into a fight with all 8 of my wins being by a knockout. I wanted to obviously keep that streak up, And unfortunately, I didn't. But like I said, he was fighting for his life. You know, he was not going to go away easy. So that's fine. And I don't like to leave it up to the judges. I've said it time and time again. You can't trust them. Just like you said right now, they could be watching a totally different fight or have a different point of view on it. And not have the decision for you. And obviously one of the judges did. And it did happen to be a female. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I don't know. So next time I'll definitely go in there and look for the finish as I always do. And not have to worry about the judges.
Do you feel now after you've had, 15 minutes in the UFC octagon, do you feel, I feel like you knew you belonged anyway, but do you feel like you are where you're supposed to be now?
Oh, for sure. And I'm kind of happy it went all 15, to be honest with you. People have only seen me go first round, slightly into the second. They've never seen me go all three. Maybe dating back to my early second, third professional fight, or even as early as my last amateur fight. That's the only time I went all three or all five. But yeah, I'm happy to get that octagon experience and show everybody that I can go all 15, that I'm not going to fold under pressure or, I'm not going to gas. Like you clearly seen, a minute left and I got a beautiful double leg takedown. I still had gas in me. I still had energy. So I could have gone an extra two rounds if it had been a five round fight or however long it need be. So I'm definitely happy and kind of cool it went all 15.
Being joined by Manny Martinez right now. Back to the emotional side of things during this week, during the build-up. Did you feel the lack of presence in the cage? Do you feel like you were missing your coach? Did you notice that? Were you looking for something that you just couldn't find in that fight?
You hit the nail right on the head. Yes, sir. Going back and looking in there, some moments in the fight, you could tell I kind of looked lost in there. Not so much lost, like as if I didn't know what I was doing, but for one instance, I had him up against the cage and, I was hitting him with a flurry and then I just back off. And I think had my coach been there, he would have, gave me the proper instructions and I obviously would have listened and been able to put him away or have him in a serious threat more than I already did. And it definitely felt like a piece was missing inside of me in there. And I know from here on out, it'll remain to feel that way. Not so much like how it did this first fight, but I'll have to make the adjustments needed and I will. And I still know he'll be looking down on me and watching over me and in my corner regardless. So it'll get fixed. But for this fight, I definitely felt that piece missing. And it was a tough one, very emotional. And it was rough. But I got through it and my hand was raised. So that's all that matters.
And with your teammates too, like, have you guys at all like really all gotten together and spoken and like kind of like sat down and just kind of like taking it in and seeing it's tough because you're never going to move on. He's always going to be there. He's always going to be looking over. But how do you approach as a group now what he's taught? What would you say? Do you look back and say what would coach say?
Yeah, for sure. We've grouped up. And, we've talked about sticking together through this. And this is what coach would have wanted is us to, continue his legacy and stay strong and, depend on each other to help each other, push each other and, hold each other accountable. That's really what it comes down to at the end of the day, making sure we're still doing the proper things needed, sparring wise, wrestling wise, strength and conditioning wise, and whatever else coach would have wanted us to do, we're making sure to keep each other accountable and, we're fixing each other's mistakes and we're taking it as brothers, we're not quite falling apart or, you know, separating as, you know, some people would think, but I'm very blessed and thankful to have them all. And we just been very supporting of each other. So we're going to stick through it and, you know, continue to grind together and then shine together, man.
Who's one of the biggest influential teammates that you've had during this time? Who's someone who stepped up and really was there for you?
It's got to be Adrian Yanez, my fellow training partner, UFC fighter as well.
And yeah,
he's taking a big role. You know, he's got a lot on his plate, but he's still managed to, you know, step up and be in my corner. You know, still show up to training sessions, run the training sessions, and you know, he's been a huge help. And last week he had to stay back for the funeral, but as soon as I was over, he hopped on a flight Friday and was still able to make it there and help me out in my corner. And he's done an awesome job, man. All the respects to him, and I'm sure he'll continue to do that awesome job.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing the people that you have in your life. I mean, I feel like, man, you have specifically, because I've interviewed Adrian before too, and he's he's a very special guy as well. You guys seem to have a very good core of people in your life, and that's rough because not everyone has that. And it's tough, especially as you guys get bigger and better, you know, and find your way in the UFC to keep the good people around. How do you make that decision? Have you had that struggle of I need to make sure that I keep this person in my life and I need to cut ties with other people?
I haven't quite come to make that decision. You know, I'm still not in a scramble, but I haven't quite had to worry about that yet. And I know that time will come, but right now I'm just celebrating this victory and, you know, still kind of mourning my coach's loss, if you want me to be honest. And I know that time will come soon, but I'm trying not to worry about it as of now. Like I said, I just want to focus on my teammates and, you know, helping Adrian and these younger guys stay of course and make sure they're still doing the right things because they're still young in their career. And I know they're looking up to Adrian and I as role models and, you know, examples because they want to be at our level. So when the time comes, I'll worry about, you know, cutting people off or, you know, adding new people. But as of now, I'm just focused on, you know, our team and my career for now.
Who is the biggest influence on your career in general? Because to get to where you are today, there, it's not like you just like a flip of a switch and you're poof, you're in the UFC. There's a long story behind it. Who, at what age did you really think that MMA was something for you and really who pushed you?
There's many different people who helped me get to where I'm at right now and, you know, pushed me. But, the two most influential people, I'd say for sure, one being my dad, because he fought professionally, and it was actually under Coach Saul's promotion. crazy how that comes around. And, you know, I remember him coming home at the young age I was at and, you know, seeing him with the black eye or, you know, a little bit busted up. And he did win. He was undefeated as a pro, 2-0. So,
not many people get to say that either. Yeah,
exactly. So seeing that, you know, really motivated me at a younger age. And then another teammate, former teammate of mine, his name was Berto De Leon. He started fighting, you know, his young mid-20s. And that was really inspiring to see because I was about a teen or so. And I remember traveling to Louisiana with him, Arkansas, all the local promotions over there and seeing him fight. And that made me realize again that, you know, I could do this and this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So those two people for sure had a huge impact on my life. And my mom as well has helped me push and drive me to the next level. So it's really a family business. Both my mom and my dad have helped me tremendously, and I'm super thankful, super blessed for them. And it's been a long journey, but I finally made it, and I finally got my first UFC win debut, and plan on having many more.
Yeah, the journey's just beginning, man. Now you're just about to hit your stride. It's ridiculous. I mean, forget about it. The career looks very promising. You look like there's a lot of good things that are coming your way. Which fighter in particular did you see, whether you were growing up or up close and personal, whatever it is, that really was like, I want to emulate him in some sort of way? Obviously, because, you know, your family business, you saw your dad was involved, you have people close to you, but was there somebody else on you know, whether it was UFC, whether it was Pride, whether it was Bellator, whatever it was, that you saw that you were like, I want to be that guy?
Man, there was a lot of fighters, because I do remember watching Pride growing up, seeing Rampage travel overseas, Vanderlei, a bunch of different fighters. But I think the one that stuck out to me the most would have to be BJ Penn. I want to say maybe me being half Hawaiian kind of plays the favoritism towards him. But seeing how relentless he was in the cage, and, you know, him licking his blood off his gloves, and how he just go out there and scrap, and kind of made me be like, man, this crazy Hawaiian can do it. I can do it too. And if you could tell in my fight style too, I'm relentless. I can too. Sometimes I go in there and just want to scrap, man. I just want to bang. Like, so for sure, BJ Penn, I think.
Yeah, BJ Penn is one of those guys where it's definitely influential as far as just like one of the best fighters of all time. And just as I was a lot of my friends growing up, that was the guy that we had to see. When he was fighting, he was you can't miss him. Even now, like as he got older, I wanted to see him fight. There was a lot of good tests in front of him, and I was excited to see him. It's unfortunate to see, you know, where he's at in his life and his career, and you just wish him the best, because that's one thing. Listen, it's entertainment to a lot of people. I'm a fan of the sport, but man, let's be serious, you're a human being. I want to see good things for you, but I also want to see you healthy and live a long and prosperous life, my friend.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, from what I've been seeing on Instagram, it does look like, you know, he's recovering and he's right. He's on the back on the right track. But yeah, you do want to see that, especially from retired fighters that had long, amazing careers and were champs at, you know, different weight classes or champs just in general. You want to see what's best for them. So for sure, it's good to see him doing good again. And yeah, man, when he was on you, it was a must watch TV, must see TV.
No question. Well, Matt, before you go, anything you want to promote in particular?
No, man, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for having me on. And, you know, I appreciate everyone's support. I got a lot of love after this last fight, and everyone who's stuck with me since the beginning, you know, I truly appreciate it. And I can't wait to get back in there. I think I'll be able to squeeze one more in before the end of the year. So I'm excited, and I'm already amped up for that.
Well, listen, I know it might be too quick of a turnaround. I'm not sure, but MSG card coming up November 6th, New York. That's my home area. That's my hometown. Let's go. We'd love to have you. You're freaking exciting. So it'd be awesome to see you at the Garden, man.
Let's do it, man. And yeah, that main event is sick. And last time I went to the Garden, I seen the BMF.
Oh, hell yeah. Masvidal
and Diaz. So seeing that up close and personal. And y'all got a good MMA crowd. I didn't quite expect that, if you want me to be honest. And when I was around, and, you know, everybody cheering, and, you know, sounding like they knew what they were talking about, and, you know, being respectful, not quite booing, I was like, man, I like this New York crowd. I didn't, like I said, quite expect that. And
I'll take that. I'll pat myself on the back for that. That's good. Listen, we try, bro. Yeah. Listen, it's amazing, because it's only been here in New York for a few years now compared to, you know, globally and stuff like that. But we've been dying for this. We've been feeding for this and that. You know, we have the Long Island crew. We got Jersey. We got a little bit upstate New York. We got the Manhattan area, too, that's just a ton of, like, Henzo Gracies and whatnot. You name it, there's tons of MMA around here, Tiger Schulman's, everything. So we've been feeding for this for a while. We're smarter than you think. We could be assholes, too, but we're smarter than you think.
Yeah, I know. I know y'all can. Because that Yankees-Astros rivalry, y'all, oh, man, y'all get us. Or y'all don't get us, but y'all get under our skins. We see the tweets. We see how it is live and all the trash can talk and this, that. But we'll save that for another talk. But, yeah, y'all's MMA crowd is definitely something to applaud for. And November 6th, even if I'm not on the card, I definitely love to go watch that in person, man. It's going to be a great card. And like I said, I'd love to be around that vibe, that atmosphere of everybody cheering and, you know, like that.
We'd love to have you and just at the very least hang out, that's for sure. Listen, Manny Martinez, I appreciate it, man. Congratulations. Let's do this again, dude, and best of luck, and we'll see you soon, all right?
Thank you, Pete. Nice to talk to you, man.
Thank you to Manny. Thank you to Brian Battle again. Thank you for listening. We will have our picks, as always, at the Hoff, WFAN, at the Hoff WFAN, and at the Fight Fan WFAN on Twitter, at the Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman on all other social medias, WFAN.com and the Odyssey app. And don't forget, I have a couple shows coming up this weekend. This weekend. It's a holiday weekend, so I guess Monday's a weekend too. I have a show Sunday morning from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., but also I will be filling in for Boomer and Geo this Monday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., with my boy Michael Fliegelman. So it's going to be the Hoff and Fliegs or something of that sorts. But Fliegelman and Hoff, and we'll be in there 6 a.m. To 10 a.m. this Monday morning. Get ready. Check it out. It's going to be awesome. And I will see you guys next week again, regardless, with Moose and Maggie and the podcast, as always, that we do every week. So, and then we're football season's about to start, so that's crazy. So we're going to get into it, and baseball playoffs are going to come up soon, and then basketball and hockey, we're just going to get into all of it. You know, September is one of the craziest months around for sports, so I love it. I love it. I love it. And thank you again for listening, and I will see you guys next week on The Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman.